We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. It's Super Bowl weekend. We're ready here on The Upswing. A full show looking at not only the ads, but what is the economy around the game all about? Buying and selling snacks, buying and selling TVs, even the economic impact on the hyper-local level in New Orleans. What's it mean from a sports betting lens? We can't bet on our phones here in the state of Wisconsin, but that could be changing in the years, maybe even the months ahead. That ball is moving down the field for sure. Bobby Kraft is the founder and CEO at Atlas World Sports. Bobby is going to join us in the second half of the show to talk about his business, obviously the impacts of Super Bowl on sports betting, but how can Wisconsin move the flag down the field in terms of getting sports betting legal on our phones? Bit of breaking news here. There's a local Wisconsin-based business that's walking distance from our studio here in downtown, beautiful downtown Milwaukee, that's going to be featured in an ad during the big game. How cool is that? Wisconsin Cheese Mart is one of the 50 small businesses featured in the Google Workshops ads. Now, these campaigns are running right now on YouTube and other social platforms, but here's the deal. The campaign comprises 50 local TV ads. They're going to air in their respective markets during Super Bowl 59. There's a cattle ranch in Nebraska. There's a sign maker in Illinois. There's an architect in Massachusetts. There's a climbing gym in Utah. And, of course, as Google's looking at, hey, who uses our AI? Who uses our systems? It's got to be cheese related here in the great state of Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Cheese Mart is featured in the Google Workspace ads that will debut in the Super Bowl on Sunday. Really cool thing. I'm hoping to have Kenneth McNulty, who is the owner of the Wisconsin Cheese Mart, join us via phone. We're waiting to connect with him. Hopefully we will. If not, again, breaking news here. Wisconsin Cheese Mart will be featured in the Super Bowl in the Google Workspace ads. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, getting you ready for Super Bowl weekend and the big game on Sunday. David Hanekin is a teaching instructor of strategic communication at Marquette University, former creative director and ad agency owner. Back in the day, I'll give you this personal story here. Dave and I worked together at Hoffman York and Compton, the agency was called then. Shared some duties around Yamaha water vehicles, the Wave Runner account. That was a lot of fun, Dave. We didn't get to do a Super Bowl ad together, but some of those photo shoots in Destin, Florida, that was a good time.
Oh, my God. You're taking me back. But yeah, I mean, that's the fun part of advertising, right? Some of these things related to your production and where you get to travel. And oh, man, those are fun days.
Yeah, without a doubt. So I want to talk about Super Bowl ads, obviously. This is a kind of a baseline question for you, but what makes a Super Bowl ad truly effective? What do you want the viewer to feel?
Well, certainly it's got to connect. The brand has to connect with the target audience, right? I mean, this stuff is still very academic, and as far as like what's the message you want people to take away? Who you got to know who your target audience is. The Super Bowl, though, like, it's weird because a lot of the rules get thrown out because you have half the country watching, you know?
Yeah.
So, there's an old expression in the business, like, should you, You know, why use a rifle when you can drop a nuclear bomb on and you can get everybody, you know? So, but if you're a brand and you have a very specific target audience that you want to reach, you know, you have to weigh these things out. Will it be effective? Will it work? And I think the rule of thumb, I think, for Super Bowl advertising is, and this is a debate that happens every year, is it worth $8 million for 30 seconds?
Exactly.
And the rule of thumb that at least I've followed and I've learned over the years and having worked on Super Bowl spots, it's a really great opportunity if you are introducing a new product and or a new company, new advertiser.
Right. Because you have a huge audience and there's it's an easy way to blanket.
Right, right. Reintroducing a product is another way to utilize it. And of course, if you want to drive traffic to a website, for instance, I mean, there's examples of this all over the place. But I think, you know, one could say, well, what about a company like Ford? Okay.
Right.
So we've all heard of Ford.
Exactly.
Why would they want to buy the Super Bowl? But in reality, if they're going to introduce a new truck, right, it's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if they're just going to run a generic branding ad, you know, I don't know if I'd advise it.
Well, you look at something like the Google Workspaces ad, and what I think is special about the Google effort and their media buying strategy is that no state is overlooked, right? They're a partner with local businesses. It's not necessarily about the Google brand. It's about, hey, how can we talk about our partners who are doing the work with our products. So it's a little bit more humane, maybe a better portrait of the people who are fueling the economy. Is that an approach that big companies take?
I think it's brilliant because if you think about, as I said earlier, what you really, at the end of the day, a Super Bowl ad is no different than an ad that runs at any other time of the year. You, as a marketer, you want to make sure that the target audience relates to the ad. So if you're Google and you're going to find a local company, a local merchant, like who did you say?
It's Wisconsin Cheese Mart is the Wisconsin-based business that will be featured in their ad.
So you automatically, Google is automatically building that into the message and it's making people in this area. It's a very targeted ad. Everyone's going to be like, oh my God, Google has isolated Wisconsin. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Really great for us.
Yeah. In your agency days, how do companies measure the impact? Is it about brand recall? Is it impressions? Is it buzz? Is it call to action? Like, how do you ultimately, you're making an investment. How do you want to then review that investment?
So there's a couple of ways. One is the obvious is sales, but, you know, or we refer to it as brand lift, right? A great way to measure it is website visits. You know, there are examples of brands that have, like literally their websites crashed after running something on the Super Bowl. A lot of online chatter. I mean, everything leads to engagement. And the world of this Super Bowl ads has really changed since the amount of, you know, if you look at people who are there, previewing, they're teasing ads. People are going online.
What are your thoughts on that? To roll out, do you preview the ads or don't you preview the ads? Should they run on social beforehand? Or is there kind of a hybrid model now that companies are looking at?
Yeah.
Yes, all the above. Yes. There's no wrong answer to how you want to showcase, right?
Really, it depends because there's a lot of old school thinking out there that back in the day, it was like, oh my God, you protected your ad. Like if that thing got out before Super Bowl Sunday, like heads were rolling.
Right.
Right. And then people started to tease it out a little bit. You see it like last year, there was one of the more popular ads was with Michael Cera, the actor for CeraVe. Now, they rolled that thing out with teasers a week ahead of time. There was 100 million views online of the teasers that they did. So when the spot finally airs during the Super Bowl, everybody's like, oh my God, everyone be quiet. This is great. I've seen this or I've seen part of it. So there's a familiarity with it.
Yeah.
But other brands are like, nope, We're yeah. not doing it. We're not. We're going to just release it.
But at the same point, someone is always seeing that ad or that impression for the first time. And that, as a creative director, you have to keep in mind when you are putting together the ad. And when we come back, that's what I want to talk to you about. The creative process for putting together a Super Bowl ad, does that differ from a standard ad? We're talking with Dave Hanekin from Marquette University. The process, the creativity behind Super Bowl advertising. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by Dave Hanekin. Dave is a teacher at Marquette University, former ad agency creative director. So, Dave, we're looking at kind of a record high of $8 million for Super Bowl ads for 30-second spots. Last year, we're looking at about $7 million. So, obviously, a huge investment from companies. What does the creative process look like to put an ad together?
So, honestly, it's not any different than any other campaign you're doing. Mm-hmm. You have to understand, like, okay, very technical things, very rudimentary things like, well, how big is our budget? Can we afford, this director or that production company? And, oh, by the way, it's a Super Bowl, so should we get a celebrity? Everybody likes celebs, right? So those things all factor into it. Oftentimes, too, the Super Bowl ad is just 50%, half of it. You may have your campaign launch with a teaser ad the week before, mm-hmm. then you have the Super Bowl ad, and then you go after that, you're doing some things that are, extensions of that particular message, but you're still, you want an idea that's strategically sound. A lot of times people make the mistake of just hiring a celebrity for celebrity's yeah. sake, and it's kind of it kind of depends on that person align with your brand.
I mean, to that point, what are some of the common mistakes that you've seen in Super Bowl ads through the years? Is it failing to kind of capture the moment that's happening in the greater economy, or what is it?
I think the mistake most people make is they think a celebrity is an idea. Right.
Okay.
And all that hiring a celebrity is all that really is an execution. So in the perfect world, if you're going to bring in a celebrity, and that always garners a lot of attention, at least make sure they align with your brand. So, for instance, if you're Corona beer and you have Snoop Dogg, it's like, OK, that's chill. He represents that lifestyle and that vibe. I think last year people remember Arnold Schwarzenegger for State Farm.
Yeah.
Like a good neighbor. Uh-huh. Like, there was no more fun way to put your tagline out there to the world. And this year I saw a teaser ad for Ritz Crackers, and they're doing something about, the people who are salty, and they're connecting it to salty actors. So they have Aubrey Plaza and Michael Shannon, and they're in the salt flats.
Uh-huh.
So people who are salty connect to the brand. But if you just hire somebody, a celebrity for a celebrity's sake, it's kind of a waste.
Right. You have to have the proper execution. This year I saw Eugene Levy's trademark eyebrows are going to fly off for Little Caesars. You're going to have a tongue that's going to dance with Shania Twain for Nestle's Coffee Mate Cold Foam. And then I think, obviously, mayonnaise company Hellmann's has done a good job of promoting the Meg Ryan, Billy Crystal reunion from When Harry Met Sally. Although that movie is from 1989.
Right.
So do you have to be generational in terms of how you look at from a demographic standpoint when you're putting together ads?
Well, let's stick with Hellmann's mayonnaise, that example with Harry Met Sally. That's a brand that people of all ages buy. So maybe if you weren't familiar with that film and you saw the ad, you might say, oh, that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
If you were familiar with the film, you'd be like, oh, that I remember that, right? And the punchline, of course, I'll have what she's having is in there.
Exactly.
We all saw it coming, right?
Right.
But, Yeah, I mean, it kind of depends. Again, it depends on every brand. But if you want to bring in celebrities and have some fun and people want to talk about this, another mistake people make is, and I've heard these stories about friends of mine who worked on Budweiser. Like, back in the day, when Budweiser ads were the best, in my opinion, they were so funny, especially the Bud Light stuff.
Super creative, on brand, talked about the product, but had that talkability factor.
And that was it. I mean, August Bush was famous for just approving things and hiring, green lighting ads just because he wanted people at the club, the polo grounds, the next day say, hey, I saw that ad in the Super Bowl. So sometimes there's a lot of analytics and a lot of data that goes into it, and other times it's just somebody going like, hey, that's funny, I want to run it.
Yeah. So what do you think we'll see for trends in creative this Sunday?
You know, I think it's going to be a lot of more of the same. There's going to be a lot of celebrities. Looking at that. I'm looking at people maybe even driving traffic to, you know, their websites or what have you.
AI, health and wellness in terms of the category?
Well, yes. Yeah. I mean, here's just stepping back for a second. If you consider this, there's, okay, the three big, the largest group of advertisers are snack foods. Then you have beer, and then you have food products.
Right.
So in effect, and you mentioned this up front, there are brands that can tie into that. So for instance, if you are knowing that 1.5 billion wings are consumed during the Super Bowl, if you're Tyson Chicken or Wingstop, are you like, you got to plan ahead for this. Also, 1200 calories on average are consumed just on junk food on that day.
Yeah.
So if I'm an advertiser, I might run an ad for Planet, if I'm Planet Fitness, or if I'm Ozempic, or if I'm Weight Watchers, like, you know, you can connect your message to the lifestyle.
A lot of variables in the Super Bowl advertising space, for sure. Dave Hanekin from Marquette University, I appreciate your deep dive and insights this morning. Outdoor Living Unlimited, WTMJ News Time is 10:30. ABC News and local headlines are next. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, getting you ready for Super Bowl Sunday. On the phone is Kenneth McNulty. Kenneth is the owner of the Wisconsin Cheese Mart right here in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Kenneth, how are you this morning?
Great. Thank you very much for having me on the show, Jeff.
Of course. So how does this all happen? Like, you are going to be featured in a Google Workspace ad during the Super Bowl. Talk about the process and kind of how it all came about.
Well, we've been working with Google since 2017. We were named Google Wisconsin Business of the Year. And ever since then, they've been very supportive of us, a small business. Basically because we're in Wisconsin and we sell cheese, so it's not a bad connection.
They hit on all the key points there. That was an easy one.
Yeah, exactly, yes. Yeah, it was very easy. So they're continually, they continue to contact me and be involved with a lot of things that they do. I was in D.C. last year also. So they're very supportive of us, and it's been a great ride.
So how are you leveraging? So essentially the spot is going to highlight Google's AI and how you use it in your operations. How is that happening, and how are you using AI to impact and grow your business?
So the beauty is, back in 2003 when we bought the company, it was just a small store right next to Usener's on Third Street.
Yeah.
And beauty with e-commerce it's that we can broaden our horizon. Anyone that has internet access basically can buy from us.
Mm-hmm.
So this ad, they'll see it throughout Wisconsin. They'll be able to see the ad and then immediately go online and go in Wisconsin. Oh, I can buy that aged cheddar or that Car Valley cheese that I've always wanted, and I have to go to the store.
Yeah,
we know everyone is on it.
Yeah, we talk a lot about the micro and the macro kind of coming together at the same time, and that's what you're doing with this. Like, you're able to showcase your business on a global scale, but still hit people on a local level with e-commerce or whatever it is. Are you ready for the extra demand? Do you have, like, extra protocols and processes in place?
We just came out of Christmas, so we're pretty good at we scale up naturally, so we still have a lot of cheese, so we're able to handle, I think, a big a big spike in demand also. So it shouldn't be a problem because we have done this for a few years, so we know how to handle spikes.
Very good.
So it shouldn't be a problem.
Kenneth, do you know when the spot is going to air? Do you have a specific time and do you have a viewing party set at the Cheese Mart?
We don't have one set.
Okay.
We don't know what time. We don't know. I'm going to go to see the game at probably my sister's house, and I don't think we're going to do
okay.
it downtown. But it's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
But we don't know exactly what time of the during the game it's going to happen.
Well, no matter what team you're cheering for, I'm going to be cheering for local Wisconsin-based companies that are part of the big game. So congratulations. Have fun this Sunday. Kenneth McNulty is the owner of Wisconsin Cheese Mart, debuting in one of Google's spots in the big game on Sunday. Kenneth, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I appreciate it.
All right. Joining us in studio is Bobby Kraft. Bobby is the founder and CEO of Atlas World Sports. I have a thing with my son that we do at home, Bobby. We bet on sports only on holidays. Now that said, we can kind of create our own holidays if we want. You know, it's a Friday. Let's do it. But we all know that Super Bowl Sunday is a holiday, and people are probably putting down a few fun bets. It's a betting bonanza, without a doubt. A lot of states have embraced the sports betting wave on the mobile platforms. Wisconsin's been a little bit more cautious, maybe on the sidelines a bit. But Atlas World Sports, for the last 4 years, you've been building a company, a sports technology company, that is providing this platform for not only content, but to aggregate all of our sports bets. Tell us all about Atlas.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you, Jeff.
Yeah.
Pleasure to be here. On behalf of Atlas World Sports, we're proud to first of all say we're halfway through our Series A round, so it's great to be able to be here.
Nice.
And talk about that on a holiday weekend.
Yes.
And I would argue that perhaps Monday would be more important to be the holiday.
Okay.
Based on what most people partake in on Super Bowl
that is
Sunday.
True. That is true.
You know, really what we are, think of the Expedia for sports books. That's
okay.
Atlas World Sports.
Hmm.
And then we bring so much more to it. We have artificial intelligence where we're going to help predictions for the games for our users. And then we've been building out a new daily fantasy platform that will be launched here in the second quarter of this year. And that gives us an opportunity to play in markets such as California and Texas,
okay.
which are still not legal for sports betting.
Yeah.
However, 39 states have legalized thus far. Missouri was the latest. They will be coming online here most likely in March. With the state of Wisconsin here, my home base, mm-hmm. Milwaukee, great city. We're hoping Wisconsin can get through eventually with the
yeah.
legislation. However, it really comes down to the tribal compact that was signed into
yeah.
law, I believe, 2004, Doyle. So,
yeah.
There are a lot of politics to work through, but
right.
they'll get there eventually.
Yeah. Well, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about that path here in the state of Wisconsin mm-hmm. to legalize sports betting from a mobile standpoint, what it looks like, what you've seen in other states, and talk about the responsibility of gaming and just being a good partner to users and operators. Obviously, the industry from sports betting demands that regulatory
right.
compliance. And the reputation of companies and the people involved is incredibly important. There's a lot that goes into the big game. We're talking with Bobby Kraft from Atlas World Sports. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Sports betting in focus for the big game on Sunday. I gotta tell you, I love the Pottawatomie Sportsbook at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. I mean, truly nice, expanded. This will be their first Super Bowl, obviously, this year. Forest County, Pottawatomie is one of six federally recognized tribal nations in the state that had sports betting operations up and running now. But having a way to bet on mobile devices is still elusive. You can't do it here in the state of Wisconsin. It would make it easier. And you got to keep it responsible for sure. So Bobby Kraft joins us in studio to talk about his company, Atlas World Sports, and their push to mobile gaming. So given that expanded sports betting beyond tribal gaming would require, of course, amending the state constitution, Bobby, what strategies are your companies and others looking at to kind of navigate these limitations?
Yeah, I wish I could say that we were involved in the Wisconsin political scene to get things moving quicker, but it's a much bigger undertaking than we have the stomach for or the resources for. So we're going to let the professionals handle that on the lobby side, et cetera. But we're really focused on the other states. I had to create the headquarters for Atlas World Sports in Chicago.
Hmm.
Because Illinois immediately, Governor Pritzker jumped on it and said, mm-hmm. yep, we're in.
Hmm.
So after May of 2018, the city of Chicago, once we started moving forward with Atlas World Sports, I came up with the concept shortly after the sports betting, legalization when PASPA was repealed in May of 2018. By the time we were launching, folks from city of Chicago said, look, put it. Here.
Yeah.
We got you.
So that's your headquarters.
So, yeah, but I want to have a co-headquarters. I want Milwaukee and Chicago. So I have an office down on Wacker. That's our main headquarters.
Okay.
And then we have one here in Cathedral Square as well. So I'm an Amtrak frequent flyer, if you
all
will,
right.
And proud of it. That, I really think my ultimate goal is both the city of Chicago and the city of Milwaukee really think of themselves as one.
Yeah.
I think we're opposite bookends with the same library between.
Mm-hmm.
And, if we think of this region, this corridor, all the way that Lake Michigan, Chicago to Milwaukee with Racine and Kenosha in between, I think that's the international flair that is good for the whole region. So hopefully Atlas can play a part in it.
Yeah.
So we've really been focused on the other states, and we're partnered with all the legal sports books, MGM, FanDuel, DraftKings, ESPN Bet,
mm-hmm.
Anything, Hard Rock, et cetera. And then we're partnered with all the leagues, from the NFL all the way down to UFC. So we can do name, image, likeness. We can show, any live scores, stats, analytics, anything you're getting from any other type of source. But then also we have so much more where we sync our users' accounts through Atlas World Sports. So they don't have to open up every instance once they're synced.
So you can load all your accounts in one platform and see all the information from one.
That's right. We also track their deposits. So if they have $1,000 sitting in their Caesars account, they have $500 sitting in FanDuel and $250 in ESPN Bet. They can see all that cumulatively and their wins. We track all of it across the board.
Yeah.
So it really becomes a single source entry point.
Yeah.
And, partner to all of them. And then we're also looking out for the users all along the way, from responsible gaming mm-hmm. you were talking about. It's very important we help get them all of the best betting information before they make a decision.
Right.
So if we can get them a point extra on a different book, that's good for them. And it's fine for the books because they ultimately want 50% of the money on one side of the ledger and 50% of the other by the time a kickoff happens.
And taking that regional approach to the economic development opportunity, I mean, right now, Wisconsin residents, let's be real, are crossing state lines to place mm-hmm. bets in Illinois or Iowa, Michigan, potentially driving revenue out of the state. So we got to look big picture in terms of how we move this forward. Yeah, you got to be cautious, but at the same time, there's revenue to be gained from the state of Wisconsin's lens.
Yeah, I am absolutely a Wisconsinite. My wife, Marnie, is a Wisconsinite. She's home with our baby boy, Robert Ronan Kraft. Ronan.
Right.
So thank you, Marnie, for giving me the time to do this. She's been the real MVP. So you talk about MVPs in sports. She's the true MVP. But we are Wisconsin. She was born and raised in Racine, and we want nothing more than to create tech jobs in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
That's ultimately the goal.
Very good.
Is to create an incredible ecosystem for all of this.
Awesome. Bobby Kraft from Atlas World Sports. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Jeff.
Have a great Super Bowl weekend. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. You can still watch the game on Sunday, but you can head to the beach here in Milwaukee on Saturday. Winter Break Milwaukee is a winter festival meant to coax people out of hibernation and into the outdoors. It's a little chilly out there today, but we're hearty Wisconsinites. We're going to get to the beach on Saturday. Organizer and founder of Winter Break Milwaukee, Kate Pochansk, joins us on the phone. Kate, thanks for taking the time.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. So give us all the details about the event on Saturday, how it came together, and kind of tell us the origin story of Winter Break Milwaukee.
Well, the backstory is in 2020, 2003, I had heart surgery to correct a congenital heart defect. And when I was coming out of surgery, my husband was chatting with me, like making sure everything was okay. And I was like very up on the morphine at that time. And I was like, we're going to do the winter festival thing. And he was like, okay, sure.
out of a little health trauma comes a creative idea.
Yeah, I think so. I've been talking about it for years,
okay.
And he knew exactly what I was referring to, but it was just like, I don't know, maybe something about feeling like, oh my God, I almost died. It was like, I have to do this. And so, yeah, I think he kind of thought it would go away, though. But as I healed up, I just kept talking about it more and more. And then about 100 days later, I put on the first winter break Milwaukee. So that was at Seltzer Park last year. This year we'll be at Bradford Beach.
Okay.
We'll have some of the same activities coming back and then a few new ones. So some of the ones we did last year was winter biking and Nordic walking.
Okay.
But this year we are also going to have winter surfing.
Ooh.
We're going to have dog sledding. So last year we let people meet the dogs. This year you'll be able to meet them as well, but they're actually going to be doing dog sledding on the beach. We'll have a cold dip again. That one was popular last year. There's a group of like very cold hardy people
that's at two o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah, you got it. And then, yeah, we'll have fires on the beach and doing some bird watching, some tea tasting, and some sand sculpting.
All right. I love it. So winter break Milwaukee this Saturday from 12 to 4 at Bradford Beach. Kate, one other thing, you're going to offer a chance to take selfies in front of that boat that's been washed up on at Bradford Beach for a long time?
Yeah. It's a deep thought. Milwaukee boat.
Very good. All right. Winter break Milwaukee this Saturday at Bradford Beach. I appreciate your time. Have a great event, Kate.
Thanks for having me. Thanks.
Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the big game, Wisconsin.